Welcome to another episode of More Happy Life, the podcast that will teach you how to trigger upward spirals of health and happiness in your life. I'm Andy Proctor, a happiness activist whose goal is to make your life more happy with science-backed strategies and powerful interviews. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. Welcome back to another episode of More Happy Life. Thank you so much for being here, my friends. Today we have an amazing guest who will blow your mind about storytelling. So cool. Her name is Lori Lee, and she is the host and producer of the Love Your Story podcast, a podcast dedicated to sharing candid interviews and conversations about living your best life's stories on purpose. Lori pulls no punches in capturing interviews that shine a light on how we make it through the hard stuff. Stress, anxiety, suicide, eating disorders, rape, the death of children, abuse, divorce, all the real stuff that we have to deal with. But she also shares interviews with Olympians and incredible athletes, life coaches, therapists, and people who are changing the world. Most often, these two categories are one and the same, right? She has a master's degree in folklore. How cool is that? So cool. Her research focuses on the personal narrative, which we talk a little bit about in this podcast. She is the author of 6 books and over 100 magazine and newspaper articles, including her latest book, Life, Living Intentional and Fearless Every Day. She consults with individuals on a personal and business level and helping them find their stories, reframe the ones that are holding them back, and manage the stories they currently tell themselves in order to create the story that they personally want to live. You guys, this is an amazing episode. If you are struggling with the story that you're telling yourself about your life, definitely tune into this episode with Lori Lee. Okay, Lori, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so excited to have you on the More Happy Life podcast.
Woohoo! Let's get happy.
Yeah, woo! Oh, I was really excited to see that you study about stories and the power of stories and the stories that we tell ourselves and just even like folklore and things like that. I thought that was like so fascinating and so happy to connect with you when we were able to reach out to each other. And so I was so fascinated by this concept of storytelling and how that applies to the stories we tell ourselves. So you have a master's in folklore. Like, that is sweet. That's super interesting.
Yeah. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Even you bringing up story and saying, I see you have an interest in story. I'm like, yeah, I do. It's awesome. And Right. Everybody has different things they're interested in. But even after years, story still just thrills me. The idea of it, understanding the power of it, understanding, I'm just understanding it on a different level still just excites me.
That's so cool. So tell me a little bit about how did you get into storytelling and kind of get to the point of, you know, getting a master's in folklore?
Okay. So I don't have like a fairy tale story about that. My bachelor's degree is in creative writing and nature writing, and my soul connects with nature, and that's where I'm about. So there's always been this sense of, and I'm a terrible fiction writer, so I'm not good with making stuff up, but I have been very journalistic and well-published over the last 25 years. And that writing, that interest in story, shortly after I finished my bachelor's degree, I started watching Joseph Campbell, which in academic circles, they kind of shunned him a little bit, but I loved him. I loved him. And he just instilled in me this interest in myth and legend and the hero's journey. And I thought that was so interesting and wonderful and fabulous. And, you know, I would collect the books of fairy tales, and it was more just an interest in theory. Not anything I really knew anything about more than just watching his videos and, you know, checking stuff out of the library. And then the opportunity came. I always knew that I actually wanted to teach at university. And so 25 years later, I'm a single mom and I'm raising two kids on my own. And it is the least ideal time to decide you're going to get a master's degree in a school that's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do the online thing because to me, part of that higher education, really, it's not just about getting a letters behind your name. It's not just about saying, oh, I've got a master's degree. It was about the experience and the synergy created with the people and the, you know, the writing groups and the presentations at universities. And they offered me a job at the university teaching. And I was like, oh, I cannot turn that down. That's like a life goal. So, I made it happen. It was probably one of the hardest things that I have ever done because I was teaching at university. I still had to work full time as a realtor, which is my profession. To support my family because I was sole support. I was raising two boys and I was getting up every morning, leaving my house by 5:30 or 6 because I had to be in my classes up at Utah State University, which is 2 hours away by 8. And, you know, you weren't late. When you're doing a master's program, it's really intense study. And then I would teach classes there all day. And then I would bring all the papers home that I had to grade. So I was up till 2 or 3 in the morning, sometimes grading papers. And then I'd get up and do it all again every day. It was probably one of the hardest things I ever did, but it was a life goal and it was fabulous. And getting my master's degree in folklore was so fun. So fun. Folklore, you can't find a funner subject because you can pick anything. Folklore are the things that we pass along in our cultures, in our lives, in our groups, in our families, unofficially. So not the things we're taught from an educational space, but the things that we find important enough to us that we pass them along to each other. So jokes or recipes or memes or, you know, just the unofficial stuff that we think has enough value to actually share.
Yeah,
so it's a cool topic.
It's like the oral record, right? Almost like, and it also it makes me think of something that I studied a little bit about a few years ago called memetics, where basically we pass on, you know, not just our genetics, which definitely we pass on, but we also pass on like these entire kind of clusters of belief systems that we don't ever talk about, but that we behave.
Oh, absolutely.
And anyway, so that folklore, I'm sure, is a huge part of that. That's so fascinating to me. Like, it makes me want to think, like, what are the stories that my family is telling, and what stories do I want to pass on? You know,
absolutely. And you know, the whole Love Your Story, my platform, Love Your Story, actually, of course, comes and is stemmed from this space because it comes from the fact that I did not love my story. I had been married and divorced 3 times, and I was like in almost this shock and awe space of, I cannot believe my life turned out like this. You know, there was this space of shame. There was a space of failure. There was this space of disappointment, of course, but also just disbelief. Like, how does somebody who is a good person and tries every day end up with this smorgasbord of messiness? And My research during my master's degree was in personal narrative, which, you know, there's all kinds of steps as to how we get down our path and how things turn out the way they do. But it was wonderful and interesting. The stuff I learned was fascinating. But one of those things that I learned was the power of our stories, the power that they have in shaping who we are and who our cultures are and who our families are, and also the fluidity of those stories. Those stories are not fact. Most of the time we think they're fact. Even in our religions, we pass along, you know, stories.
Yeah.
And we think they're fact and this is the way it is, but really everything is fluid to our interpretations, and those, every single person's interpretation is affected by gender expectations and societal norms, culture, religion, family, you know, all of these things that play into the lenses that we're wearing. And so everything becomes subject to, you know, observation and awareness and debate, and is this actually true, and how can I reframe this, and how can I look at this story differently so that it serves me instead of holds me back? And when you start realizing that, hey, the things that you think are true are not necessarily, it's not that it's untrue. It's just that there are other ways to look at it. And then life becomes totally different because, for example, one of the spaces that I have seen people get in that makes them very unhappy is a space of victimhood. Mm. Something has happened to me. It wasn't my fault. I didn't ask for it. My husband cheated on me. My coworker screwed me over. I should have gotten that promotion. Something goes wrong. You know, even something as, you know, horrible as being raped or molested or something that wasn't your fault. You didn't make the choice to bring that to you.
Yeah.
And then how do you get out of that space of victimhood? But I've noticed with the clients that I work with and the people who are struggling in these hard story spaces is you have to be able to make the choice to step back from that story. And you have to be able to see it in a different way, not because you're letting the other person off, not because bad things didn't happen to you, but because there is a different way to look at it that can serve you. And that way is, what is the meaning? What did I gain from that experience? What kind of growth did I have? Or how did I relieve another person's suffering or create growth for another person? There's all kinds of reframing tools that play into looking at a story from a different angle so that that story can then serve and strengthen you. One of the gals on my podcast the other day, we were talking about this idea, and she does a resume of, this is all the shitty things that happened to me, and I made it through all of this, and because I made it through all of this, I know that I am a strong, capable, incredible person, and so whatever my focus is now, whatever I'm trying to do, I know I can do it because I made it through A, B, C, and D, and that's a different way of looking at it than, oh, all these bad things have happened, life is horrible, I have horrible luck. This is, woe is me. So these angles that we can take on our story absolutely determine whether we fly or whether we stay stuck in these swampy places on the hero's journey. And the hero's journey, you don't become a hero. You don't get the magic elixir of learning. You don't win the kingdom or the princess's heart without fighting the dragon, without making it through the swampy forest. You know, these are the things that challenge the hero. These are the things that give him the strength, him or her, the strength and the insight and the character to be worthy of what's on the other side. So when you're in those dark places and it's feeling hard, you fight that battle. And part of fighting that battle isn't just survival. It's being able to see it, see that story in a way that blesses you and strengthens you and creates meaning behind the difficulty so that on the other side, you make it through. You make it through that bog and you're stronger and you're closer to that magic elixir.
Oh, I love that. That's so powerful. I think, you know, these stories, you know, that we tell ourselves about ourselves are huge. And I love that you're talking about these reframing tools and how so many times we just take on this victimhood. And I love, like, it reminded me of Will Smith talks about how it's not your fault what happened, but it's absolutely your responsibility to choose now and to choose what happens next. And I think you mentioned before, it seems like you've talked a little bit about how there's kind of three different stories that we are dealing with constantly, the past, present, and future. So like, how can these, how can these stories kind of help to impact our energy, our relationships, you know, our purpose even?
Oh, this is huge. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. The Love Your Story platform focuses in these three areas, past, present, and future. The past are what you and I were just talking about.
Yeah.
If we have stories, things that have happened to us, stories of shame or victimhood or fear or disappointment that are getting in our way, those stories desperately need to be reframed so we can get past them. Because when we're carrying that backpack with all these dark and heavy story stones in it, we're going slower and sometimes we can't even move. You know, I have watched people that are carrying these stories and been one myself. Like, in order for me to get past my story of shame and disappointment of my failed marriages, I did intensive emotional intelligence training. I spent a year going back and forth. In fact, it's kind of a funny story. I had a friend come into my office one day, and she's a dear friend, but she says, "Lori, I just got back from this emotional intelligence training and you have got to go." And I'm like, "Really? Why do I have to go, Sally?" She's so intent. And she says, "Because you're stuck, because you have issues with men and you need to get over it." And I was like, "Thank you for your bluntness, my friend." But I knew she was right. I knew that I had tried everything that was within my power, everything I knew how to do. And I didn't seem to be able to get past it. That cynicism, that mistrust, that just the darkness that sort of gets carried around with a lot of bad experiences. And I had used all the tools that I had. So I needed something and I didn't know how to get it. So I just bought the airline ticket. I paid for the expensive workshop. And little did I know that I would be going back and forth to Ohio for the next year, taking every single level of this workshop and eventually coaching in that program because of the amazing experience I had that cleansed out and helped me reframe those past stories. It was huge. It was significant. And I absolutely need it. So when we're talking about the past stories, there's this space of reframing. And I help clients that need that help to reframe. And despite the fact that I, you know, had a master's degree in personal narrative and knew that I needed to do the work, all of that, I couldn't even reframe my story on my own because I was so steeped in it. You know, there's so much emotion and experience involved in those stories that oftentimes to say, okay, I need to reframe this, but you just don't know how. So, you know, don't feel bad if you as a listener are aware that you need to reframe, that you need to find meaning in your story and that there's big stories holding you back. Don't feel bad if you don't know how to do that because it's hard to do and have it really stick and really shift for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I needed help doing it. And because I did it, you know, this is why any of us create our platforms, but you learn something, you gain something, you get farther along that spiritual path. And when you have that clearer way of seeing, or you make it past something, or you want to share that with people, you want to help them be able to do it. And so that's where this past section of past, present, and future, when we're dealing with past stories, if they're holding us back, we need to reframe them. So instead they are actually doing the opposite, which is buoying us up and giving us strength and understanding and clarity as we move forward. So that's a long answer to the past, but excuse me, the present. Oh, so important. The present stories are the stories you've been referring to a lot, which are the stories that we tell ourselves. Hmm. We all have that, you know, it's an inner voice. And for most people, there's a real negativity bias in that inner voice. I've only ever talked to one person who's like, "No, my inner voice is pretty supportive." Everybody else has this inner voice that really seeks to create self-doubt, you know, or, you know, they're really quick to pull in the shame, really quick to create anything that's negative that holds you back, that makes you, you know, kind of curl into yourself and be small and stay in a space where you aren't engaging with the world, where you aren't engaging. Okay, for instance, if you look in the mirror in the morning and you start pointing out the things, you know, you're familiar with your body, you're familiar with your face, but there's these little things that always, you know, "Oh, my nose is too big," or "Look at that extra, you know, look at the tummy I'm getting," or, you know, whatever it is. And then you sit and you criticize whatever it is you don't like about your body. And then as you head out the door into your day, you're not going out happy. You're going out a little bit, you know, head down, hoping nobody notices you because, you know, all of those things that you just spent 20 minutes, you know,
criticizing
about yourself. If you can become aware of the stories, and here's the thing about those present day stories we're telling ourselves is we think they're fact. We really literally just think that voice, that negativity bias is fact. It's what it is. We know it. That's why it's going on in our head, but it's not fact.
Right.
It is a perception. It's a chosen perception. It's one that can be managed. And it's really crucial to manage those stories because when we, you know, this is where positive affirmations come in. When we're starting our day, and you've probably got something in your set of tools for the more happy life, when you start your day with mantras and positive affirmations that are empowering. You know, I am an open, powerful, motivated, loving, beautiful person. I am out there creating good things. And that's what you're saying to yourself instead of, oh, my, you know, my ears are looking droopy.
Right.
And there's a difference in the way that you walk out your door. There's a difference in the way that you interact with the people that you meet. There's a difference in the way you present when you walk into the office at work, you know?
Totally.
And the difference in that the way you carry yourself and the way that you, the difference in that energy that you put forth is huge, because it determines everything. Mm. It determines the connections you make. It determines whether people want to be near you. It determines whether you are feeling confident and how you maybe you won't even approach people if you're not feeling confident. So those stories in the present that have to do that you are telling yourself that you have complete control over becomes super important to manage, because they really determine your future. And that leads me to the future platform, which is the one that I've really been pushing a lot lately, because it has to do with my new book that just came out, which is called Living Intentional and Fearless Every Day. And the future aspect of the Love Your Story platform is that we are focusing on taking action and creating the life storyline that we want on purpose. We're not passively living into a life and seeing what comes, but we are living intentionally, creating the love or the connection or the self-care, whatever it is that we want in our life story. We're taking responsibility for that and doing the small and simple things on a daily basis to create that life on purpose. And that's the future aspect.
I love that. Creating a life on purpose is, that's huge. I think what you said too about the present kind of ties perfectly into that, and it makes me think about deliberate storytelling of the self, or you know, that like if we don't tell that deliberate positive story, if we don't deliberately say, you know, I embody joy, or I, you know, these like powerful statements about ourselves, and then like really live them, then I think we do default to that negative story. I mean, like you said, you know, we all have that like negativity bias, and it's not like it's a bad thing about our human nature. It's just, that's just what we kind of inherited because it helped us survive, you know? And so I think it's so important, like you said, to have that deliberate, almost like story strategy in our minds of, no, I'm going to tell this story today. And then that how much that affects our future story is just huge.
Well, you know, when you can take control of your happiness, like, you know, we're on the More Happy podcast.
Yeah.
If you know that you can control your happiness, and, you know, when you talk to people and you say, what do you want in life? You know, the first comeback is always, I want to be happy. Okay. We all want to be happy, right? So there are some things you have control of in, I mean, you have control of that entirely, but you know, we're talking about specific tools here. And one of those, if you can tell a story about yourself to yourself that makes you feel more confident, more full of faith, more buoyant and joyful, why in the heck wouldn't you choose to tell that story instead of something that's self-deprecating and, you know, and creates hopelessness or self-doubt?
Seriously, no joke. It's a choice. And this is what I always tell people, because they ask me, hey, are you always happy? Because you're like, you're the happiness guy, right? And you're, does that mean you're like always happy? And I'm like, well, no. I wish.
I'm human.
I'm human too.
But it's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice. And I tell people that I'm not always happy, but I prioritize. I prioritize the choices and the habits that I know are proven to help me improve positivity. So I think storytelling is absolutely one of those things every day. And I'm like really excited to try this more often. So I wonder if you could kind of share, you talked about a couple of reframing tools, and you did mention a few of them already, but are there any other kind of reframing tools that can help us kind of switch, you know, kind of switch over from that default negativity of, you know, our drooping ears and that weird looking red thing right next to my lip or whatever. You know, it's like people are going to think that's gross. You know,
I have so many tools to help you on the Love Your Story website, because that's what it's all about. That's what my whole platform is about, is helping you to love your story. So if you want to go to loveyourstorypodcast.com, there, in fact, there's a whole section, I think it's 50 through 54 or around there. You'll see them, but it takes the five steps of reframing your story. And there's a podcast episode on each step. So it walks you through the whole thing.
Cool.
And that's phenomenal. If you want additional help, like, I mentioned, you might very well need, because you need an outside, non-judgmental, super safe space to take a look at your story and help you reframe it, you can always reach out to me for that type of consulting and, you know, counseling. But so you can use that, but let me name just a couple of them.
Okay.
One of the things I think that I know is really important is you first have to accept that story, that it really did happen to you, that this is your life, that this is what happened, and sort of settle in with that. Sort of be okay that's the story, that, you know, that's the event that happened, and okay, let's deal with it. A next important step is going to be actually being able to say it out loud. And some of the things that have happened to us, they're hard to say out loud. There's so much shame involved, or regret, or, you know, disbelief. It's not something we want people to know about. And when I say it out loud, I don't mean post it on Facebook. I'm not saying something that, you know, you're wearing on your shoulder. I'm saying you find a safe place, a space where it can be said out loud, where you can claim it, where you can say it, and where you can find out that when you say it out loud, the whole world doesn't collapse, you know? Yeah. And it's just a process. For some people, each step bears a little more weight, and some it's a little less, you know, it depends on what the story is and how entrenched the person is in the story. I think that the most crucial step to reframing, which we've talked about, is the space where you find meaning and purpose in whatever happened to you, where you are able to find the growth. And let me share an example of that. So Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, most everyone's familiar with him. But he was dealing with a client. He's a psychiatrist, and he had a client after the war come in. And for those that don't know him, he was in a concentration camp during World War II, and all of his family was killed, his wife, his parents, and he was one of the few people in the concentration camp, in his concentration camp, that made it through. And the experiences that he had certainly helped inform his work as a psychiatrist afterwards. Yeah. And he had a man walk into him one day and say, "Oh, I am just, you know, my wife has passed away and I am so sad. I'm just completely unhappy all the time. And I miss her so much. And I, you know, I don't even know that life's worth living anymore. And I just, you know, what do I do?" And he went in because he needed counseling and some therapy about this topic. And he was, you know, trying to deal with it, as we all do. And Viktor Frankl said, "Well, what would it have been like if you had passed away before your wife had?" And the guy says, "Well, oh, I am so glad that didn't happen, because she could never have handled it. You know, we were so attached, and she would have been completely miserable. It would have been much worse for her than for me." And Viktor Frankl just looked at him and said, "Well, aren't you glad that you get to be here, that you get to be the one that stayed so that you saved her from having to have that horrible experience?" And just the meaning, just that shift in perspective, that him being here without her was saving her from that difficulty, gave him enough meaning, gave the man enough meaning, that he just stood up, you know, said, "Thank you so much," walked off, and didn't need any more of his services, because what he needed to be able to move forward was meaning from the experience that he was going through, that it was serving some good, that, and that gave it to him. And so that's an example of finding the meaning in or the purpose in something difficult that we're going through that helps us then to not see it as a drudgery, right? You know, and maybe it still is a drudgery, but that shift in story and perspective is so powerful because as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, all of these thought leaders that have been here for hundreds of years talking to us, Norman Vincent Peale, all of these people who are talking about positive thinking, it's not because it's a woo-woo thing. Our thoughts have power. And to understand the power of story, thing I say at the end of each podcast is story power serves you best when you know how to use it. And that's what we're talking about here, knowing how to use the power of your stories to bless you and to amplify you and to create that fantastic, happy life that you want. And so we're talking about steps for reframing. I think one of the most powerful parts is that space where you find the meaning and the purpose behind the difficult things because it shifts what the story is to you.
Yeah, I love that. That's so, so powerful. And I think it can be life-changing. I mean, you just shared an example of that. And I think I can think of multiple examples in my life. And I think all these tools that you just talked about, it's interesting because I studied what's called post-traumatic growth. Both of those things, admitting it, right? Saying it out loud, and then finding meaning in what happened, telling a story that's meaningful to you of what happened. Those are both things that are directly positively correlated with post-traumatic growth. Because there's post-traumatic stress, right? Like the PTSD kind of stuff we always hear about. But then there's the people who grow because of it. And it's those who, who are able to admit their story and say it out loud, who are able to give meaning to it. Like you gave this beautiful example with Viktor Frankl and this person. And I love that our thoughts have power. So, so true. So true. So thank you so much for sharing some of those tools. And I want to ask you a question that's kind of a zinger, which is what is your mission in life right now?
Ooh, that's always a good one, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest and tell you that it's not an easy answer because it just gets complex for me. I think my first mission is, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, and I don't, I'm not up about setting judgment about it, but my first one is always personal growth, understanding concepts that I don't understand. Yeah, and then from that personal growth and increased understanding, I strive to bring through my platform, through my podcast, through my associations with others, that increased understanding for creating, better lives and better experiences. Understanding the way that I do, the control we have over what our experience on this planet ends up being is so crucial. And so it's this, first of all, I have to understand and I have to grow, and I'm fully aware of, all of the many, many things that I'm working on in my own weaknesses to become strengths and seeking that understanding. And then with that, using my talents and my skills and my platform to share with other people who are, who are in a different space and can learn from the things that I have learned at this point. You know, everybody's in a different place on the path of spiritual growth and, and happy life growth and, skill sets and understandings. And so there's always an audience. There's always a space for somebody who is just a little behind you in that. I don't mean to suggest they're, farther behind you in life, just in maybe a certain concept of understanding, right? There's somebody who hasn't learned that concept yet, and those would be the people that you could teach. And so let me succinctly answer your question. I would say that my purpose is one of personal spiritual growth and understanding, and then a use of the things that I know and understand to make the lives, to create positive energy and connection and make the lives of my brothers and sisters on this planet better and happier, and to improve their journey as much as they will be open to that.
I love that. That's powerful. And I think it's powerful to say our purpose and our mission out loud too, and to kind of state it. So I love asking that question because—
Yeah, thanks for that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it's hard, because sometimes it's hard for me to say it too. But saying it out loud, it helps. I think it helps. And I love— one of my missions or purposes is to help other people to realize their purpose and to live it.
Nice.
So I hope that helped. And I think you're doing a great job of it from what I already have just gleaned from this podcast. So
thank you.
Yeah. I have one more question for you before the end, which is if you, you know, what other advice— I mean, we've talked about, you know, personal narrative and the power of stories and mimetics and the stories that we pass on and reframing tools and, you know, the hero's journey, deliberate storytelling, and a lot of these beautiful things that can help us to tell the past, present, and future stories that we want deliberately. What other advice do you have for somebody out there who just really wants to have a more happy life today?
Like, that's not enough advice already.
Right? Exactly.
We just tidal waved you with lots of stuff. Let me add to that. I think that it just ties into all of that. I think if for us to choose a happy life, we get to acknowledge, first of all, that we have responsibility for it. You know, whether we like that responsibility or not, we simply do. It is what it is. And once we acknowledge that we have responsibility, then we start to seek out, in what ways do I control my happiness? Because, you know, when you have a difficult emotion hit you, something bad happens, and, you know, and it really hits you, it's like, yeah, I don't have control over this. I'm feeling crappy and I don't really want to, you know, I'm not just going to change this because I should feel happy all the time. You know, sometimes we don't feel happy, and that's okay, because that's a process, right? Like, we have real emotions and we need to acknowledge those emotions and sit with them and let them do the work that they need to do. We have to experience good and evil, dark and light, to know the difference and to choose. And there's certainly space for that, but it's the choice of whether or not you stay in those dark places that determines your forward progression. And to stay in victimhood or to stay in darkness, that's where things get real swampy. So I would say, just first off, as is the acknowledgement that there are absolute tools to help you on this journey of creating happiness, of seeing things in a positive way, and using them. You know, using them, choose happy. There's a sign that says choose happy. And while that seems super simple, it's not as simple, because we don't necessarily control our emotions. It's a process to control those emotions, right? It's a process to replace a negative hard thing. It's a process to forgive. It's a process to come to a space of really believing those affirmations that you're saying, and not just like, yeah, I'm totally pulling the wool over my own eyes here. I know I know this isn't legit, when really it is totally legit, right? If you want to sit there and focus on your beauty, everybody has beauty about them, whether or not it, you know, plugs into the latest magazine, you know, GQ or whatever, is completely beside the point. You can wallow in a cultural expectation, or you can notice all the fabulous things about you and, you know, really live in to those and choose the happy, choose the thought processes that are going to bless and sustain and amplify you. And so I, you know, I'm really repeating all the things we've talked about, but it's choice, right? It's choose to be an agent who can act, and to choose happy and to choose the tools that create that for you, rather than an agent who is acted upon, or an object, excuse me, who is acted upon and just kind of gets pushed around in the waves of life.
I love that. Thank you so much. I know it's a kind of funny question, but especially if you've been talking about it already, but I love it. I love asking that question because it helps to kind of like bring it all together. And I think you did a great job of that. So thank you so much for doing that. I think I have benefited greatly from this. This has been really helpful for me. And I know that so many people are also going to just love this episode. So thank you so much, Lori, for being here. You talked about loveyourstorypodcast.com. Where else can people find you? Is that the best place?
That's for sure the best place. My new book, Life, which stands for Living Intentional and Fearless Every Day, is out on Amazon. So you can...
love it.
You can Google Life in all capital letters and Lori Lee and it'll pop up. Or you can, you know, on loveyourstorypodcast.com, there's tools for helping you reframe your story. There's all of the podcast episodes. And we're into year 3 on that platform. So we're like 140 plus episodes. And every one of them are so good, you know. They're just incredible stories or story tools, stories of people overcoming things. In fact, yesterday, every Wednesday, a new episode comes out. And yesterday, the episode came out. I did a panel on suicide, and it was a 2-part panel. And God, just a real heavy hitter panel. And I think, did you have Seth on this podcast?
I did, yes.
So he was one of the panel members.
Oh, cool.
On that suicide panel. Yeah. But it really strong, incredible conversation. If you know anybody who is dealing with that, either in their families or for themselves, who are struggling with depression or mental illness, or, you know, fighting that battle, that part one and part two came out in June. So, you know, that anyway, good stuff. So yeah, the loveyourstorypodcast.com website is the best place for that. And you can get the book there too. There's a link for it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is awesome. Such good resources, such good advice. So many things to think about. Oh my gosh.
It's blessings. Blessings to you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
I really hope this episode helped you to have a more happy life today. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. You can also find me on Instagram @morehappylife or by going to morehappylife.co. Thanks for listening and see you soon.